what the discourse was, what the ideas were, like what the attitudes were, to sort of see these companies as institutions that create culture but are also cultural entities all their own.
This is Ken Stringfellow of the Posies, Big Star, etc., and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
And beyond.
Huge elephant trumpet across the plains.
Imaginary soundtracks to unmade foreign films.
And there are rhino, those craggy creatures surviving from a bygone age.
Snack Point Charlie. Hosted by Jeff Economy. Every first Wednesday from 10 p.m. to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with music for the masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC afternoon show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Accra on 90.7 WGXC.
From Survival comes an economical do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved and easy to assemble. Takes just a weekend.
Get maximum protection from nuclear fallout for your family.
See a Survival shelter today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Rhodes Adler of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
The epidemic of book bannings should be read as a warning. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Not far from the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin is a public square known as the Opernplatz, where on May 10, 1933, one of the world's most infamous book burnings occurred. German students had organized a nationwide pro-Nazi action against the un-German spirit, culminating in numerous book burnings. The one at Opernplatz was the largest. Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's chief propagandist, addressed 30,000 eager young Nazis there, urging the mob to consign to the flames books that encourage decadence and moral corruption. Several years later, the Nazis turned from burning books to bodies. International Holocaust Remembrance Day is observed every January 27th, the anniversary of the 1945 liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp, where the Nazis killed an estimated 1.1 million people. More than 1 million of those killed were Jews. Also killed were communists, Roma, too often referred to by the disparaging term gypsies, Christian pacifists, LGBTQ plus people, Soviet prisoners of war, people with disabilities, and others deemed enemies of the German Reich. As this solemn anniversary was recognized around the world this year, a startling related news story began circulating. The McMinn County, Tennessee School Board voted unanimously to ban one of the best-known memoirs of Auschwitz, the Pulitzer Prize-winning graphic novel Maus by Art Spiegelman. Maus depicts the experiences of Spiegelman's parents, Vladek and Anya, before, during, and after their imprisonment at Auschwitz. The comic book format casts Jews as mice and Germans as cats. Auschwitz is called Mauschwitz. Citing rough, objectionable language in the book and one drawing depicting Spiegelman's mother in her bathtub after she died by suicide, the board voted on January 10th to ban the book and to remove it from the eighth grade curriculum. I'm not denying it was horrible, brutal, and cruel, board member Tony Allman said, referring to the Holocaust, according to the meeting's minutes. He went on, it's like when you're watching TV and a cuss word or nude scene comes on, it would be the same movie without it. Well, this would be the same book without it, he said. Continuing his critique of Maus, Allman added, it shows people hanging. It shows them killing kids. Why does the educational system promote this kind of stuff? It's not wise or healthy, Allman said. Lance McConkie, a history teacher who lives in McMinn County and teaches in a neighboring district, told us, there's no pretty way to teach the Holocaust. McConkie is a teaching fellow with the Tennessee Holocaust Commission and a recipient of its Bells Lippmann Holocaust Educator of the Year Award. He uses Maus in the classroom and told us, the kids love Maus. It's easy for them to read, he said. Art Spiegelman says he never intended the book for children, but since its publication and garnering the Pulitzer Prize in 1992, he's changed his opinion.
I've now met many, many children who studied it in school, who found it on their own, who were given it by their parents, and it actually is received with a degree of real wisdom in their reading.
That's Art Spiegelman speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour this week.
Comics are for whoever can understand them. Certainly the school board doesn't really.
McMinn County is not alone in banning books. The racial reckoning following the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis in May 2020 revitalized interest in teaching the literature of race and racism and of books by and about marginalized communities. This has led to a counter campaign to ban books, coordinated with groups like Moms for Liberty, Parents Defending Education, and No Left Turn in Education, all funded by right-wing billionaire Charles Koch. Books with Black or LGBTQ plus themes are high on their target list. PEN America's tracking educational gag order legislation, listing 89 pending bills before state legislatures nationwide, from a bill in Iowa barring use of the Pulitzer Prize-winning 1619 Project in teaching, to New Hampshire's HB 1255, an act relative to teachers' loyalty, which would ban public school teachers from depicting U.S. history in a negative light. The American Library Association received an unprecedented 330 reports of efforts to ban or challenge books just last fall.
When you make something forbidding, it only makes it more tempting. And so in putting our books like at the center of attention and trying to make them forbidden, it's honestly only making more people interested.
That's George M. Johnson speaking on Democracy Now! Johnson's deeply personal book, All Boys Aren't Blue, has been banned in 15 states. Berlin's Opernplatz now has a memorial to that notorious 1933 book burning called The Empty Library. A glass window in the ground reveals an illuminated subterranean room with empty white bookshelves. The Nazi book burnings in the spring of 1933 were a harbinger of what was to come. The epidemic of book banning sweeping our country today must be confronted and stopped now. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
I'm Tom Rowe with WGXC in ACRO with this week's WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th and 20th congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website.
The world is in its third year of a deadly virus that has taxed healthcare workers like no others. At the same time, members of Congress, including Paul Tonko locally, have signed on to a letter to get the federal government to cap nurses' pay. HealthAffairs.org reports that, and I quote, an unprecedented number of nurses are retiring early and exiting the workforce or quitting their hospital employment to return as employees of staffing agencies, end quote. Tonko and other representatives see rising wages for nurses as a problem. The letter to White House COVID Response Team Coordinator Jeffrey Zients says, and I quote, we are writing because of our concerns that certain nurse staffing agencies are taking advantage of these difficult circumstances to increase their profits at the expense of patients and the hospitals that treat them, end quote. The almost 200 congressional representatives signing on to the letter are a mixed lot, with far-right figures such as Elise Stefanik, conservative Republican Liz Cheney, centrist Democrat Tonko, and liberal Ilhan Omar all in favor. Nurses, however, mostly do not want their salaries capped. There is evidence that nursing wages are up, like in many other fields with high demand for workers. The American Healthcare Association last year sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission urging the FTC to protect consumers from anti-competitive and unfair practices regarding agency staffing. Tonko, who represents all of Albany County and other parts of the Capital District, was not joined by Hudson Valley Democrat Antonio Delgado nor Sean Maloney in signing the letter. Representative Antonio Delgado on January 30th joined the chorus calling for a ban on members of Congress trading stocks. Representative Abigail Sandberger, a Democrat from Virginia, and Representative Chip Roy, a Republican from Texas, introduced a measure to ban members of Congress from trading stocks last year after revelations that several Republicans used insider knowledge of the COVID-19 pandemic in its early days to buy stocks in companies likely to do well through the coronavirus outbreak. The bill got little traction until Democrat Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, came out against the proposal. That incited support from both sides of the aisle. Now there is a similar bill in the Senate and momentum to pass something. The bills would require members of Congress, their spouses, and dependent children to place their stocks in a blind trust while the member is in office. Lawmakers often have access to privileged information, and these bills would attempt to quash efforts to make money on that insider knowledge. Delgado said in a January 30th tweet, and I quote, "This is a bipartisan, bicameral effort that I am proud to be a part of. Members of Congress should work to represent the communities, not to turn a profit," end quote. Colby Ikowitz and Adrian Blanco report in the Washington Post that New York Democrats unveiled the redistricting maps for Congress on January 30th, and the proposal boosts the chances of Democrat Antonio Delgado in the 19th Congressional District. Democrats could win an additional 3 seats in Congress if the plan is voted on and signed by Governor Kathy Hochul later this week as expected. Delgado's 19th congressional district adds Binghamton and Utica under the plan, moving the district from one that President Joe Biden won by 1.5% to one where Biden won by 10 points. That comes at a bit of the expense of Democrat Paul Tonko's 20th congressional district, which moves from a Biden plus 20.5 district to one where Biden won by 17.3 points as part of Albany County's switch to the 19th district. New York lost one congressional seat in the latest census count. A 10-member, supposedly independent commission, where 8 members were appointed by partisan legislative leaders, could not reach a decision on district lines, so the legislature has taken over the process. Blair Horner, executive director of the New York Public Interest Research Group, which opposes partisan gerrymandering from either party, said, and I quote, "This is not a good night for New York Republicans," end quote. Democrats and Republicans had differing opinions on the redistricting proposals. David Imamura, the Democratic chairman of redistricting, said, and I quote, "I'm thrilled with the maps that have come down. They listened to the public input the commission received, and I think that's reflected in these maps," end quote. Nick Langworthy, chairman of the New York State Republican Committee, said, and I quote, "These maps are the most brazen and outrageous attempt at rigging the election to keep Nancy Pelosi as Speaker," end quote. Read more about this story in the Washington Post. More information continues to come out about the proposal for congressional redistricting from the New York legislature, including maps of what could be the new district. The biggest changes locally include Rensselaer County, which was previously entirely in the 19th congressional district, but would now be split in half, with everything above North Greenbush, Sand Lake, and Berlin switching to the 21st congressional district, currently represented by Republican Elise Stefanik. Albany County was previously all the 20th congressional district, now represented by Democrat Paul Tonko. The new proposal moves Albany County towns Coenans and Bethlehem from the 20th district to the 19th district, currently represented by Antonio Delgado. Schoharie County moves entirely from the 19th to the 21st congressional district under the proposal. And only the northwest corners of Dutchess County remains in the 19th congressional district, with the rest of Dutchess County moving to the 18th congressional district, now represented by Sean Maloney. Redistricting occurs every 10 years after the census, and an independent redistricting commission was supposed to do that work. But that body was designed by the legislature to be toothless, so when they failed to agree on new district maps, the legislature took over, proposing these maps. Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, who is running in the 19th congressional election this year, called the redistricting process led by Democrat state lawmakers, and I quote, "a scam to begin with. The Democrats in the legislature wanted to control the outcome," end quote. He told reporters on January 31st, and I quote, "At the end of the day, I am hopeful the courts will step in because this is a blatant effort to gerrymander for no other purpose," end quote. The New York State Constitution states, and I quote, districts shall not be drawn to discourage competition or for the purpose of favoring or disfavoring incumbents or other particular candidates or political parties, end quote. But the courts have never turned down a map approved by the legislature. Jeffrey Weiss, who heads the New York Census and Redistricting Institute, said, and I quote, the state courts are really going to be reluctant to overturn a state legislatively enacted map, end quote. But even if the courts agree to the new maps, that does not mean they are fair. Susan Lerner, executive director of Common Cause New York, said in a statement, and I quote, these lines are so heavily gerrymandered, they will be non-competitive. It is a major disservice to voters who were first denied any hope of a truly independent process 10 years ago when the so-called Independent Commission was conceived, end quote. The legislature plans to vote on the proposal later this week. The Daily Freeman reports that Representative Antonio Delgado had $5 million more in campaign funds than Republican challenger Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro in their 19th congressional district election. Molinaro must defeat Republican Brandon Bukola in a June primary to face off against Delgado, who so far does not have any challenges from his party. Delgado ended the year with $5,480,936.71 in cash on hand, according to the Federal Elections Commission. Molinaro, who began his campaign in September, had $423,619.64. Delgado is completing his second term after beating Republican John Faso in 2018. Both candidates live in Dutchess County, with Delgado in Rhinebeck and Molinaro in Red Hook, while serving his third four-year term as Dutchess County Executive. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 22 degrees. Wind chill values will be as low as minus 1 degree. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low of around 0 degrees. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 28 degrees. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 17. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
From 1997, this is Isotope 217 with the song Legetti from the Unstable Molecule album. Thank you.
Some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Catskills' Brian Dewan has his annual Valentine's Day show this year on Sunday, February 13th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Turn out Sunday, February 13th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, or tune in to a live web stream at WGXC.org. Click on the Listen button at the top of any WGXC.org webpage and scroll down to find the live webcast of Brian Dewan's Valentine's show with songs of love and devotion throughout the centuries on accordion, electric, zither, and other instruments. His performance is live at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, Sunday, February 13th at 8 p.m. and online at WGXC.org.
A wondrous thing, the human heart.
This is Andy Stuhl with the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive, introducing Subterranean by Shauna Sordahl. In 2020, members of the Co-opt Gallery in Lubbock, Texas, installed a hyperlocal FM station that broadcasts to an area extending just into the gallery's parking lot and the street in front of it. Sordahl, an experimental cellist, was one of several artists from whom the Co-opt Collective, via member and musician Andrew Weathers, commissioned original transmission works to air on the micro-FM station. The COVID-19 pandemic had spurred Co-opt's use of radio, and it also shaped the circumstances for Sordahl's creation. Facing a sudden international move and a long period of separation from much of her gear, Sordahl began immersing herself and her cello in a minimalist and feedback-heavy system. The resulting bassy drone offers up the same kind of physical wave interactions that one can experience moving through a low-power FM signal, and with it the same feeling of immersion as antidote to the many forms of displacement the pandemic brought on.
Thank you.
That was Subterranean by Shana Sordal, a transmission work commissioned in 2020 for a hyperlocal FM installation at Co-opt Research and Projects in Lubbock, Texas. You can learn more about this work in Wavefarm's Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Wait, sign of evil number 4.
We're continuing our sign of evil countdown. Here's Vanessa Williams.
Radio and TV do a lot for me. Lots of times I date my honey when I'm running short of folding money, and the radio and TV are free. At the outdoor movie, everything is groovy. But at times I like it better just to bring my baby home and set her at the radio and TV with me. It's nice to sit and say the things that lovers have to say, while the good guys chase the bad guys and the top 10 records play.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, bye.